The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
In 1695, a Dublin merchant ship set sail from Ringsend to Smyrna on what should have been a routine trading mission. It didn't return within 3 years of its departure, and so the ship was presumed lost. With Dublin merchants setting up an arbitration body to deal with the fallout, insurance was paid out and life moved on, until 2 years later, the ship reappeared. Joining me now to tell us the story of the Ouzel Galley is historian and content creator Jane Casey. Jane, good morning and welcome.
Thank you for having me, Pat.
Now, this is an extraordinary story. I remember as a child passing by the Ouzel Galley Lounge on Dame Street in Dublin. Never knew anything about the Ouzel Galley, but you're now going to tell me that story.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I love that you called me a historian. I'd call myself an armchair historian because I think my my fascination is with little details around the city. It could be an etching in a brick, or it could be a facade on a building, an old ghost sign from an old shop. I love those things.
But then you have to go digging.
And then I go digging, and that's what I do online on Instagram. And this is probably the most interesting story I've ever come across, I suppose. So I don't remember the Ouzel Galley Lounge, but I did find out about it in my research. Yeah.
And there is a plaque.
And there is a plaque, yeah. So just behind a donut shop on Central Bank Plaza, there is a little plaque of a 18th century ship carved into the wall. And I spotted this and I said, what is that about? That there must be something there. So I went digging and I found the story of the Ouzel Galley, which was a merchant ship, as you said. It was a merchant ship in the late 18th century, late 17th century, should I say. And it was on just a routine trading mission. Went up the Liffey.
Now, what I found extraordinary was it was leaving from Ringsend to go to Smyrna, which is modern-day Izmir in Turkey.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a long way. What were they going for, do we know?
A hell of a long way. We have to remember that back then, Dublin was a hive, a busy port, you know, as it still is, I suppose. But if you can imagine all these tall ships lined up along the Liffey, up as far as Temple Bar, you know, really. So it was a very, very busy port. So this would be normal. This was business as usual. Ships would leave out to Ringsend, go off for years at a time. And remember, back then, there was no radios. Marconi, we're in Marconi House right now. Marconi wasn't to invent the radio yet. You know, you just kind of hope for the best. And if they didn't come back after a certain amount of time when they should have, he was eventually presumed.
And do we know, were they bringing anything with them to trade, or was it cash or gold or whatever it might be?
There would have been a massive trading, you know, this would have been a trading hub. So like linens, there was linens, especially in Dublin, whiskies, things like that. So, you know, we were quite an industrious country then. So it went for 3 years, and after 3 years, it never returned. So it was presumed lost. So they said, look, what are we going to do here? This is an absolute legal mess. They were like, they settled everything. They settled insurance. The crew were mourned. Everything moved on. And 2 years after that, it reappeared up the Liffey. If you can imagine, everyone...
Like a ghost ship.
Like a ghost ship with full crew. And suspiciously, lots more cargo, precious spices and treasures and things like that. So that caused even more of a legal mess. Who owns it now?
And you know, if you expected the crew to be gaunt and starving, that was not the case.
They were absolutely grand. They were absolutely fine. So what happened then was a group of merchants got together. The same group of merchants that kind of settled the insurance claims and all that, they got together and said, OK, look, what are we going to do here? They managed to sort out the legal mess. And that group of merchants, actually, it's a nice little tidbit, it was Arthur Guinness and J.J. Jemison, who were on that arbitration body initially, which is amazing to think. You know,
Arthur Guinness and John Jemison, two iconic figures in the drinks business.
Businessmen, yeah. And they, actually, that was the precursor to the Dublin Chamber of Commerce, which is very interesting. But yeah, so the rumour was, I guess the conspiracy theory was that the Irish crew actually intended on going off course intentionally and commit piracy on the high seas.
Now, what was their story when they came back? You know, and maybe their widows had married again or whatever. Who knows what went on? But they come back and what do they say?
They say that they were hijacked by Barbary pirates. So they were Algerian pirates. They said that they were held hostage, forced to commit acts of piracy on the high seas. And then these pirates just let them go.
They managed to escape with their ship and its contents, correct, and lots more besides.
Yes, correct.
So nobody believed the story.
Well, we don't know. We don't have a lot of records from that time. But what's lovely is that it's entered Dublin folklore. And I guess people have let their imaginations run wild. And there's lots of different stories about what potentially happened. But no one really knows. The crew just went back to their normal lives after 5 years. And yeah, nothing.
And the question of the money. I mean, you said they managed to sort out the legal mess. But money had been paid out by the insurance company. Mm-hmm. I presume it was not paid back.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Again, we don't really have a lot of records, which is why it's kind of ended up as more of a part of folklore, which is why, as you said at the top of this, you know, there was the Oozelgally Lounge, you know, kind of entered Dublin vernacular. And what's a nice story as well, a nice tidbit, is that the building where the plaque is today is the old commercial buildings that used to face out onto Dame Street. And people might know it. It now faces out onto Central Bank Plaza. And they actually moved the building brick by brick and turned it 180 degrees. Yeah.
My recollection of the Oozelgally Lounge is that it was located somewhere in a basement. You had to go down one floor. It's located somewhere between the Olympia Theatre and the Central Bank Plaza of today. So that's my memory of it. But thank you very much for explaining everything.
Yeah, thanks for having me in.
The Pat Kenny Show. Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.